This morning, I need to jump into this pretty quick, and it's part of the Heart of Revival series, and I want to talk to you. My sermon today is Carried Away in the Spirit. Carried Away in the Spirit. And just want to jump into this because this is a characteristic of almost all revivals that you see, is that it is spirit-led, spirit-guided, people giving themselves to the Spirit. Pastor Kerry last week talked about sensitivity and developing a sensitivity of the Spirit, and creating an altar where the Spirit comes and moves you. And it's just, it's a fantastic picture of this altar that we create. And I want to talk today about being carried away in the Spirit of God. As we've seen in Scripture, so many different saints of God were carried away in the Spirit. And I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of ways that we are carried away in these days, aren't there? And we can get carried away in a lot of things. I was thinking, and probably I shouldn't even share this, and I was asking the Holy Spirit, should I really share this? Shouldn't? Okay, I'm going to share it, all right? I grew up in New York. I know. I grew up in New York. I was a big Giants football fan. Huge Giants football fan. I loved watching just all the games. Went to some live games with friends. But I was this football fan where I could not watch a game without almost getting sick. I was so worked up and so nervous about what would happen in this game that I would just be really, literally, I couldn't eat. I just was, sick to my stomach. That's the kind of fan I was. Well, there was one Sunday, and I had a friend of mine who was maybe even a bigger fan than I was, which maybe, I don't know. We went to his apartment, kind of a small apartment, and we were going to watch this game. Well, Valerie and my son, who was my oldest son, who was only about 2 at the time, maybe, they came with us, and so we were watching the game. We're watching the game, and this is when, I don't know if anybody remembers Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor was a defensive end, played for the Giants, one of my favorite players in football, and, you know, he was always getting sacks and doing different things. Well, in this game, I can't remember. They were playing the 49ers. Anyway, so one play, and it was his move. He would just do this thing, run around the left tackle, and just put his arm up and run and just kind of bull through this left tackle and just wipe out the quarterback. And so he did this. He just runs over, boom, and just tackles the quarterback. Well, I mean, my friend and I were just like, yeah, you know, we jump up, and I got maybe a little carried away, so I go, rah, like this, and so I'm just like growling, shouting, rah, like this, and I actually punched the ceiling, and I think I made marks in the ceiling. Well, I had forgotten that my 2-year-old son was in the room here just playing and with his little toys. And Joshua just goes, ah! Screaming, running out of the room in terror. And Valerie's like, looking at me like, what are you doing, you lunatic? You know? And so she goes, she grabs him, and she's like, he's okay, it's okay, Josh. And so I come over there to kind of console him, and he's like, stay away from me, you know, I wouldn't have anything to do with it. I was like, wow, yeah, okay, I need to not be so carried away and get that carried away in being a fan. But I think that probably all of us have experienced in something, maybe it's not sports, but getting maybe a little too carried away, right? Where you thought, hey, it was a good thing. And there's a lot of things that are good things. But we can get too carried away in them, can't we? Yes. And you can talk about a lot of things. You know, entertainment, music, movies, all kinds of different things in entertainment. Social media. Anybody get carried away? Oh, it's just like 2 hours later. I didn't realize I was still flipping. Social media, news, conspiracy theories. we can get caught up. We can get carried away in these things. I look at maybe some younger folks gaming.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, you can really get carried away in gaming. We can get carried away in food and drink. And I probably just need to stop. Food and drink, all kinds of things. This is the first place where I experienced tea that is actually almost like syrup. I was like, I don't know how you can get much more sugar in that tea. You can get a little carried away with your sweet tea. Okay. But we can get carried away in a lot of different things. Our need for approval or respect, our need to be right, our need to look good, our need for the latest tech, latest car, latest outfit. You know, there are good things that God has given us, but if they're carried too far, they are not good any longer. And Paul says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Wow. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself and recognize that Jesus is in you. Unless you fail the test. And what he's saying is, unless he's not. So test the things that you are stepping into. Is Jesus in this?
Yeah.
Because if I am getting carried away in things and Jesus is not in this, then it's really not a good thing anymore, right?
That's right.
Well, we have an example of this in the life of Christ on the earth with the disciples. And we see even zeal for the kingdom of God and Jesus and the honor of Jesus can be carried away in a wrong way.
Right. Yeah.
And we see this in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. It says, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went ahead and entered into the village of the Samaritans and made arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. Hey, you're just passing through. You're not going to stay here. We don't want any you know, people that are just passing by. So get out of here. So they rejected him is what happened. They rejected him. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven? They didn't stop there even. Do you want us to command fire to come down and consume them?
Yeah.
Right? So they're getting carried away. They got carried away, and he said, but he turned, okay, now just remember too, they had just seen James and John, Peter, James, and John, had just been up with Jesus on the mountain at the Mount of Transfiguration. They see Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah.
Right.
Wow. So they were full of the kingdom of God. So here Jesus then says to them, he turns and he rebukes them. He's like, you guys are off. He turns and rebukes him and says, you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.
Yes.
I didn't come to destroy. I came to bring life. You got carried away in a wrong spirit. What started out as right got carried away into wrong. And you have to be careful for this. And in fact, Paul tells us, or Jesus tells us, to watch and to pray. Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. Watch and pray that you don't get off on the wrong course. Watch and pray. And Paul picks this up. He says we need to examine ourselves. We need to be careful. Careful how you live. Careful how you act. Careful what you engage in. Because it can pull you off. But I want to suggest to you there's even a more excellent way. We should watch. We should pray. We should be careful. We should examine ourselves. But if we are giving ourselves to something else that's even greater, then we won't even go into all these other things,
that's right?
Right?
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
And this is where I want to go to. I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47, and here is the key. And Ezekiel's a prophet in Israel to the captives of Israel, that the Babylonians came to Jerusalem and they conquered the city and they took captive many Israelites, and Ezekiel was one of these Israelites. And they brought them to Babylon, and they were camping out by the river Kabar. And it says, what's interesting to me, even in captivity, it says that while they were in this captivity, while they're by this river, Ezekiel says, and the heavens opened up, and I saw visions of God.
That's right. Yeah.
That's good. Ha! Yes! I love this about Israel's history, that when everything seems to be completely against them, everything is wrong, this is all awful, and God came in and split open the heavens.
Yes.
Don't you love that?
Yes.
I love this about the kingdom of God, that it doesn't stop, regardless of what is happening around me. The kingdom of God remains and wants to break in and show me greater things in the midst of this chaos. Thank you, God. So he has all kinds of visions, Ezekiel does. And he's carried in the spirit here and there. And towards the end of Ezekiel, he's taken to see the temple of God. And he's given a picture of the new temple. And in chapter 47... he tells us what he sees from the throne of God. He says, then he brought me back to the door of the house. And this is all things to be fulfilled in the kingdom, in God's new kingdom. He says, and then he brought me back to the door of the house. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, from the house faced, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under the right side of the house from south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate. And he led me around on the outside of the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. And so we see that it's just a light spring coming out. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, 3,000 feet, and he led me through the water, and the water was reaching the ankles. So he was led me through the water. So he's in the water, right? And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water. Water reached up to my knees. So you get the picture. It's getting deeper. Again, he measured 1,000. He led me through the water, and water reaching the loins, right up to his waist. So now it's getting quite deep, and it's getting this deep this quickly. There's no other tributaries, nothing else feeding this in. It's all exponentially growing, right? Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in. A river that could not be forded. And he said, son of man, do you see this? Do you recognize this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. So where was he? He was in the water. He was in the water because he said, then he brought me back to the bank. He's like, so you see this? That this is the kingdom of God, this is the river of God, that it would flow, and it is to flow and increase and to grow, and it was to move. And as we work through this chapter, which we can't, it brought life wherever it went. It went to the Arabah, which was the driest, deadest place. And it went through the Arabah and brought life. And it went through and filled into the Dead Sea. Why do they call it the Dead Sea? It's salty, you know, the great... There's nothing that can really live in it. There's I looked it up. There's microorganisms that live there. But there's no fish that teem in this, in the Dead Sea. But this river comes and it fills into the Dead Sea and it brings life with teams of fish. Is what this river does. Well, when I see this, I just see how the Lord is giving Ezekiel this picture of this is the kingdom of God. Getting in over your head. That here he was carried here and through all of this, the rest of Ezekiel, carried by the Spirit. And now, even as Jesus was saying, that when you call on me, when you come to me and drink, then out of your innermost being will flow streams of living water, rivers of living water. And by this, he meant the Spirit. That the Spirit of God is the one who wants to have you flow in him. And that I see in this, that this is a first just glimpse of, you need to get in over your head. That I believe that this is really what being carried in the Spirit. Carried in the Spirit means you get in over your head. You relinquish your right for control.
That's right.
You let go of the side. I am willingly going to let myself be moved in the Spirit.
That's right.
Not by my own flesh, not by my own desire. I am going to be moved by the Lord's desire, by His desire. And in fact, in Revelation 22, 1 through 3, we also have a picture of the same river of God flowing from the throne. But what does it say in Revelation? It says that it's flowing from the throne and from the Lamb.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not just flowing from this seat.
From the Lamb.
It's flowing from the Lamb. What could be flowing from the Lamb? By the Spirit of God.
Yes, yes.
The Spirit comes and He gives us everything of Jesus. He gives us everything that God wants us to have. And so we have to jump in completely to what the Spirit wants.
Yes.
I was thinking of this when I was going through. Well, the Lord was just reminding me of this morning. I wasn't even thinking of this originally. We were at a pastor's conference and with Pastor Carey, and going through the conference, and there was one night I had this dream, and I had this dream that we were by, Valerie and I were by this mountainside lake, and this lake was pretty big and just dark and ominous. And we were standing by this lake, and I was looking at the lake, and I was thinking, ooh, boy, that's a little scary. And before I could even say, Valerie was right next to me, before I could even say, wow, I don't know if I want to jump into that because that's what I was thinking, all of a sudden I see her go bloop. And she just jumps right into the lake. I was like, what are you doing? And she just jumps in, she's like, ooh, that kind of thing. Well, I wake up. Well, that morning, Pastor Carey says, hey, I was wondering if you guys, and Valerie and I are standing next to each other, and Pastor Carey says, hey, I was wondering, would you two please join me and do presbytery over all the pastors here at the conference? And I'm sure none of this happens to you guys. I was like, oh my. I don't know if I want to prophesy over all these pastors. I got nervous. I was afraid. And before I could say anything, Valerie goes, yeah, sure, that sounds great. And I was just like, It was so funny. And I didn't even think about the dream, and we started walking away, and I was walking away kind of in like, hey, why did you just say we would do that? And I was just kind of, oh, you didn't even give me a chance to say anything. And while I was running all that stuff through my head, the Spirit began to remind me of that dream. And He didn't just remind me of the dream, He reminded me of, I'm calling you to that. I gave you that dream beforehand. I gave you the vision. I gave you the picture. And I was I was drawing you to me. And so when you just went through this, now you know, you have no excuse. It was not your wife getting you into this. It was the Spirit of God. It was my Spirit. Right? We need to get carried away in that, those kind of things. And the Spirit loves to do that, right? If we would get beyond ourselves. Wait, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, I don't. The Spirit is like, are you going to jump in or not? I already knew what was going to happen. I know it was, you know, it was beautiful that we did prophesy over those pastors. And I'm bragging on my wife that she came and grabbed one pastor's wife by the hand, and she really just honored her and just a powerful word of who she was and the gift of God that this pastor's wife was. Well, turns out this pastor got pretty convicted. The husband, pastor, got pretty convicted and felt like he hadn't been honoring his wife. Well, he went back to the church. He actually had her come up and honor her in front of all the church. Guess what? Revival started breaking out in that church. Pastor, they brought Pastor Carrie in to steward the move of God that happened. Isn't that awesome? That's the kingdom of God, right? That's the river. That's the river. So it may start little bit. It goes, right? So it was just, it seemed like, well, Scripture says trickling. It was just trickling maybe at the beginning. Does that mean that it didn't have all kinds of life and all kinds of potential and capability?
Right.
The Spirit loves to do such even like little things with us. And if we'll just engage with Him, He'll just carry us off.
Amen.
Let us jump in. Jump into what the Spirit is wanting to do. Let us get carried away. Let us fully engage. I was fully engaged as a Giants fan. Not really much anymore. But Lord, let me trade that. I want to be fully engaged in everything that you want to do.
That's right.
Oh, in our days, oh God, let us be so sensitive, so ready to move with your Spirit. You know, that is the greatest tool that we could possibly use in these days. Right, there is so much confusion. There is so much information. You know, I think the world would say if we just have more information, then we can solve all of our problems. Hogwash. We've proved that wrong. We don't need more information. We need impartation of God's Spirit to move in the ways that He has chosen for us to move. Right? We need to be sensitive, so sensitive to His Spirit, hearing what He says, when we should answer, when we should be quiet, when we should step out and rise up, and when we should sit down. The Spirit knows the answers to those things. I don't know all those answers. But if I am carried in Him, if I move in Him, if I fully engage with what He wants to do, when you would see this, if Ezekiel could, which he did, but he didn't see it until after he was in it. If he could see what was happening in this river and all the life that it was bringing, what would prevent you from wanting to just jump in there, right?
Right.
What would prevent you is, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me guarantee you, good is going to happen.
That's right.
Good is going to happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's not going to, it's just going to be simple and easy and just a cakewalk. No. And in fact, it tries us to our very core sometimes.
Amen.
There was a pastor, I think it's in the latest edition of Charisma. I don't know if any of you read the article on Pastor Mark Burns of Harvest Praise and Worship Center. Pastor Mark was building this church. And it's a real praise and worship church. And this church started growing, and they were traveling all over and doing all kinds of praise and worship, you know, things. And this church, they started a new building. They had about 1,000 members. Well, they had special meeting one night. It was actually on New Year's Eve. And they just kind of gathered together. They gathered, you know, 50 of just their regular worship team and just people. And it says, and they just began to soak in God's presence. And as they began to soak in God's presence, Pastor Burns sat at the keyboard and he heard God say, "Mark, stop praise and worship for 1 year. Just teach 1 hour, 1 hour only to your people." He laughed it off, telling the Lord, "No, you're not really saying that. How could you build a church without a great worship team?" You know, it was his mind. At that very moment, his wife walked across the stage, bent down, and whispered the confirmation of God's direction. "The Lord just told me we have to stop praise and worship for a year." Burns felt frustrated and angry at first, dropping his head over the keyboard and attempting to argue with God. At 11:45 p.m., he decided another divine directive. He received another directive. "You make sure you pull everything off that altar, every keyboard, microphone, instrument off the altar before midnight strikes." Wow. I told everyone there what the Lord said. Burns says, immediately we pulled the drums, the organ, the mics, the everything off of the altar. Everything was off the stage. Burns calls that evening his Abrahamic moment. Just as Abraham did with Isaac, surrendered everything that he cherished, and obeyed the word of the Lord. He taught for 1 hour each Sunday for the next year, and then the next year, and then the next year. The church membership dwindled until they had to move back to their old sanctuary. Looking back, Burns compares his larger theater church to a beautiful shiny car with leather seats and glossy paint job, but with no engine and no power. So we weren't making any impact on people's lives. So they kept doing what God had told them to do in this small church. It says that God began to move him and connect him with a TV network. And he said, "I just began to serve people and their visions as I was working with all these different things, and all of a sudden God opened up this whole TV network." Well, this church now has its own Now network, and it broadcasts to 263 million homes in 83 countries. Wow. It's digital cable, satellite, Apple TV, Amazon, Android, Roku. It's on all these. He said the network expanded so much that They were getting blessings from outside the church. They were receiving more from outside the church than anywhere. And in fact, then they began to help their community with all the things that came in. They began to do a women's battered shelter. They began to do things for job placements and all types of things to help their community. And what I just love is that, you know, we can be caught up in our, this is how it needs to be done. And we can get carried away in how I see it has to be. I can even get carried away in my own church ministry. That church ministry must be this way. And in fact, I went through a time in my own life, God said, "Lay down your ministry like Abraham laid down Isaac." And I did the same thing. I said, "Ha!" The Lord said, "Trust in me with all your heart, lean not to your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths." And I said, "Ha! That's easy for you to say." Amen. The Spirit carried me to church that night. Really, I didn't want to go. The only reason I was going was because of the Spirit. I wasn't going because I wanted to go. We went to the church. We went to the church. Worship's going on, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, dead quiet. All of a sudden, some lady behind me, she says, "The word of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding." Lean not to your own. I almost fell out. I mean, I did. I started falling over. The pastor actually came off the stage and grabbed hold of me. Began to minister. And I knew that the Lord was saying, "Yeah, I want you to go with me in this." That God wants to carry us, that the Spirit wants to carry us to where we need to go, but don't we have to give ourselves to Him to do that? We have to yield ourselves. We have to be really good at yielding. Yielding to the Spirit. And in fact, that's the key of the Christian life, is yielding myself. That my works are nothing. That I need to yield myself to the working of the Spirit within me to do what God has asked me to do. Whew. Jesus, we thank you that from you flows all life, all truth, all goodness. And it's by your Spirit that you've given us everything that pertains to this life. That we need to let the Spirit carry us and see where it takes us. And that's one thing I just love. You know, you don't know what's down the road, do you? I didn't know Trinity Fellowship was down the road for us. We were headed to San Antonio. I was getting a job there. We were all set. My stuff was down in San Antonio. We weren't stopping here. Although we did. And that God, and I wasn't even picking up the ministry anymore. I was done. I was like, okay, God, that's how you work. But he said, but you still connect with the church. You still give yourself to the church. You still work for the Lord. And so we would connect with the church. We connected here. And God said, well, before we even left Iowa on our trek to San Antonio with our family, you know, the Lord said, I'm going to take care of your house. You don't have to worry about a house. And we got here, and the church hired me to help finish the children's building, just do construction. I was like, well, okay, well, until the job comes through in San Antonio, I'm good. So while we're here, all sorts of things are happening. You know, there was really renewal going on. The Lord said to us clearly, you take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. You take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. You know, when we finished the children's building, we actually closed on a house in Chapel Hill. We closed on the house. It was like within the same week. You take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. If we allow the Spirit to move us and carry us where He wants to go, we don't know how we're going to get there. He does. He knows how to get there. He knows where we need to get. Oh, God, we need you. We need your Spirit to move us again and again and again. And we will yield to the movement of your Spirit in these days. We will go with you, oh, God, and allow you to move us where we should be. Oh, Jesus, thank you. I want to brag on somebody this morning. Lillian. Now, your last name just totally left me.
Bauer,
thank you. Lillian Bauer, and she is a student at Legacy High School. She is also one of the leaders of the Bible Club. Or are you the leader of Bible Club?
One
of them, okay. One of the leaders of the Bible Club at Tyler Legacy. 6A school right here in Tyler. Y'all know, a big, big school, right?
Yes.
Well, a couple weeks ago, there was C at the poll. Well, guess who was leading prayer at C at the poll? Miss Lillian. And I asked her about it. I was like, man, you are awesome, Lillian. That's so great. And she was just so sweet. And she said, and you could put her picture up. She was actually interviewed on KLTV News. Did you know you were going to be interviewed on KLTV News when you were going to pray at the poll? No. It's not why you're doing it. Well, maybe there's a picture on there. But Lillian said, you know, I was really nervous. You know, it was really pretty scary. And I, you know, didn't know how it was going to go. That's not really the picture, but there was, I think they're trying to get to it. Hey, there it is. So this is the interview. There we have audio with it. They're talking about C at the poll and how many were gathered
in this year's event. I think it really does help our school system, and it just helps us, like, as believers, just to really put God into our hearts and into our school system.
I would just like to say I think this very much impacts the school, because I want people to understand that we actually care about each other. We actually are praying for you.
And this particular event was organized today by the Tyler Legacy Bible Club and the club sponsor.
Woohoo! Way to go. I think we need to give her a hand. And I think that when we have people that are giving themselves to the moving of God, we need to celebrate it with everything that we've got, don't we? Way to go, Lillian. You are awesome. Keep giving yourself to the Lord. Lillian, how many months ago were you just baptized? You were just baptized
2 months
ago.
Yeah.
I think she's making good use of her time. You go, girl.
Yeah.
In the spirit. You go in the spirit. You let him do as everything that he wants to do. God, I just thank you for every purpose that is fulfilled in your kids when we step into everything that you want us to do, even when we're afraid.
That's right.
Do it afraid. I love that. That's Joyce Meyer. There's actually a bunch of them. But do it afraid. Just go ahead and do it afraid. Because the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. He's going to help you. He's going to give you strength. He's going to work through you when you didn't even think, oh, I don't think anything could happen here. Right? Okay. Well, I had so much, and that's just me. But I want to do something. You know, we can practice. God's given us practice. How to practice being carried away by the Spirit. You look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. You know, we don't even say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, Paul is telling us. And then he goes all into the gifts of God. He's like, you don't do anything except by the Spirit of God. Except he's working through you. You don't even say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. But the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to each one.
Yes.
Jesus, thank you. The manifestation of the Spirit has been given to each one. Thankfully, finally, I have personality because the Spirit of God is within me.
Right.
He gives me his personality. Now, he enlivens me, and I'm a unique expression of his glory. But I love, you know, and Paul talks about, and he had to explain to the Corinthians all about tongues, right? And how tongues is used in church. Now, in church, we are here to build each other up. And so when I'm speaking in tongues, not praying in tongues, I'm not praying, like, I'm not just an individual praying in tongues. If I am speaking in tongues, if I'm drawing attention to myself and my tongue, then there needs to be an interpretation. That's what Paul is saying. Because when we gather here together like that, then we want to build each other up. So we're trying to help everyone understand what God is saying. But Paul says tongues is not just for a public display. It's actually for a private thing too. And it really helps privately. And in fact, you edify yourself. You speak mysteries unto God. You actually point to, it is a sign of something greater. Verse 22. It's a sign of something greater. And you actually move into flow with the Spirit, that you are carried along by the Holy Spirit, and you speak utterances as unto the Lord, as on the day of Pentecost. Wow.
Yeah.
And in fact, it doesn't even just stop with speaking. That Paul would even say, hey, I sing with the Spirit.
Yeah.
I sing in the Spirit.
Yes.
I pray in tongues in the Spirit. I speak, I sing in the Spirit. Sure, I pray with my understanding, and I also sing with my understanding. But he's saying that there is this movement that we can have in the Spirit of God that causes us to flow with him. What a great gift. Does God give any bad gifts? Absolutely never. Oh, but that's just such a crutch. You know, if you really need some kind of emotional assistance like that, oh my Lord, let us not treat prophecy with contempt. Let's not treat any gift of God with contempt. It's a beautiful gift of God. And in fact, tongues equals prophecy when it is interpreted. So I would say that that's a pretty important gift. But it's good to practice. It's beautiful to practice. You practice it by praying. You practice it by singing. You know, the Spirit comes to do what? To glorify Jesus. So I love that we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Right? In spirit, in the spirit, and into my understanding. They don't actually have to be simultaneous either. That I can just do it in the spirit. And I don't actually have to know exactly everything that I'm saying. He says, you can pray that you interpret, but you can still just pray and build up yourself while you're praying in tongues. It's an incredible gift that God has given the body of Christ so that we flow with Him. Just jump in. It doesn't matter what you look like. I sound like Fred Flintstone. Yabba dabba doo. Good. If the Spirit is penetrating the heavens from your yabba dabba doo, then let it be so. Right? Right? Be carried away. Get carried away. Make some noise. It's all right. Can't go into all the rest of it. It's such a beautiful passage that Paul was helping us to understand just this great gift of God. So if you want to flow, I feel like we just need to flow together. Can we sing this? I want to just have an opportunity. And worship is another way. Worship is another way. So let's combine them all. Let's combine worship and tongues. And in fact, there's a whole nother, I have a whole list of things that we can do just to flow and to be carried away in the Spirit. So Lord, we're going to just do this right now. We need to practice. Lord, we need the practice. Lord, we want these habits in our life just continually. Habits of our lives where we are carried away in You. Carried away by the Spirit. So Lord, we just thank You for this moment. We thank You for this time. We thank You for Your presence right here in this place. I thank You that You fill us. Lord, if anyone does not know Christ, I just pray that they call upon Your name and they receive You. And if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse you of your sins, to forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you want the fullness of God's Spirit to come upon you, then all you need to desire is to desire it. You desire it, you ask, you receive, and you engage. So, Lord, we just come right now. Lord, we desire You more than anything, more than anything, more than anything we desire You. We come to You to receive again just the fullness of this river of God. We come to receive again the fullness of all that You are, O God. And we fully engage in it. We fully engage ourselves in it. Just even as the 120 engaged with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Lord, we engage with You today.